Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be back here with y'all. Sorry. Sorry. If I let them talk, we would just be talking, you know, because we love each other and we love to talk around here. So somebody's got to call this thing to order, right? I get to be that guy. It is so good to be back. I was here the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And then it got really cold, and I decided to obey my husband for once. And he said, stay home. You need to stay home. And the cold did really affect my leg some that week. So anyway, it's so good to be back. And as y'all know, I'm going back to surgery tomorrow to get the right side done. And, you know, because of your prayers and our prayers, I had a miraculous recovery. As many of you know, I had pretty much no swelling, pretty much just very minimal bruising. The first night after surgery, I had some pain, and they had to give me some heavy stuff to get rid of it. And once that was gone, I never had a pain level over one or two, even at home. Took my Tylenol, extra strength. And so, in fact, I had to start taking the harder stuff because my hips started bugging me from sleeping in my chair so long. But we transitioned to the bed a week or so ago, and I'm doing so much better. So I'm really excited about tomorrow. Be praying, believing. I have to be there at 7:30, so we're going this evening or afternoon down. But be praying and believing that my right leg is going to be as great as my left leg recovery. And as y'all can see, I'm walking just fine. I'm walking straight up. I actually saw my primary care physician this week, and she said, oh my gosh, look at you. And so God is restoring my muscles and my joints and everything else. And so his muscles was a whole nother miraculous story. But anyway, I actually put my boots on by myself this morning. I haven't been able to do that in years. And so little by little, I'm going to be normal again, as normal as I can be, you know, outside of my personality. And so, but we're so thankful that you joined us on this last service of before Christmas. We have lots of people that are out not well, so we want to pray over them. And and any of those that are traveling as well. I know this is a busy Sunday for families. And so I'm going to pray over the offering as we have ushers ready for offering. I don't see our normal ushers. There's one. Tracy and Chad. Chad, come on, Chad. Can you do an usher job? Grab a basket. Tracy. Louisiana is in the house today. A lot of us Louisiana people. Anyway, so Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for everyone that is here. Father, I just pray your healing touch over Miss Rose that's at home with the flu, over Cindy at home with COVID. Father, for all those others that are not well, Lord, we just speak life and health and restoration. I thank you that you gave us all power and authority in Yeshua, in Jesus' name, to come against every illness and disease that tries to raise its ugly head. And so we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for the gift that you've given to us and the power and the anointing and the authority. I thank you for this Christmas season and all of those of us that are here and out and about that are traveling. I thank you for angels that cover and traveling mercies. And Father, I just thank you for this offering. I thank you that we give because you've asked us to give of our time, our life, our finances, everything laid down for you. And so I just thank you and that you bless it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if any of you saw the brick walls, our rock walls out at the front entrance or torn down. There was a wreck last night. Lady jumped both of our driveways from here to there, ran down into the ditch. Thank God she didn't hit our Arise sign because she would not have survived, and took out both of those brick walls. And so you can be praying for her, and we pray that she has insurance. And so we can get our brick walls rebuilt back. And so, anyway, so this morning, Pastor is finishing up his Home for Christmas series. And as many of you know, online giving is at our Tithely app, and you can, you can't scan. Again, I'm so sorry about this. Electricity went out this week. We're not sure if it messed with the lines in the attic and in the wall. Our special Cynthia did try to climb into the wall and try and fix it for us, but it just didn't happen. So we didn't have words for you this morning or our announcements up there, but hopefully that will get fixed ASAP. And we're so thankful that you're here for our potluck as well. And that's right after service. And if you didn't know and didn't bring anything, it is okay. We are family around here. And so we brought enough for us and you. So hang out with us. There was a word that was given from Luke 4, 18, 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This was Yeshua. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's from Luke. And Jesus says, remember, I came to set you all free. My birth and life accomplished the restoration. So as you celebrate my birth, celebrate the restoration to eternal life I give you. And you know, he is on the inside of you. He's with you. He's through you. You're with him. You're through him. And you're for him. As before the world began, you were created. I pray that each of you contact and make connection with who you truly are this Christmas season. And I've been thinking about when the angels were screaming loudly over all of the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I was just thinking about that this week, because how many of you know it doesn't feel like there's peace on earth? I mean, in the however many 2,000 plus years there's been, there has not been peace on earth. Yet God doesn't make mistakes. Pastor, don't knock the tree over. He's just shaking over there. Peace on earth. Goodwill. God from the heavenlies said that night, declared that night, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And I don't think he made a mistake, and I don't think he was confused and didn't know what was going to happen, because he knows the end from the beginning. What I think he was saying is, hey, earthlings, there's peace between you and me. There's peace between you and me. There's peace between you and me. Listen, when everything is chaotic, and this week could get out of control, you know, and we see things in the news and we see things in the earth, I want you to calm back, go back to that moment in time where God the Father spoke through his angels. There is peace between me and you, Desiree. That's what God was saying. There's peace between me and you, Stephen. There's peace between God and his creation and goodwill. Every good thing he released into the earth for you, goodwill for you, to all mankind. That is your promise for this Christmas season and for your ever, for your future. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Oh, hey, Becky. She's standing up. I was like, okay, there you go.
You just thought you were getting the mic. Okay. Okay. Laura, where'd you put it? There it is. Here and right here. So, we have a couple of little things for you, for our pastors, because we love you. You know, we can't let a special occasion go by without telling you guys how much we love you. And you, Pastor Tommy, or as the kids say, Pastor Poppy, thank you, Dakota, for creating our Pastor Poppy. And it has stuck because Liam and Laura have our Poppy. You want to help me, Laura? Laura wrapped your presents. You want to give them to her, Laura? Want to help me? Well, Poppy, our pastor, tells us all the time that he always has coffee with God every morning. Well, we decided that you need to have longer coffee breaks with God. Amen. So, we've got you a nice big coffee cup. A nice tall one. Hold it up. It's got hot chocolate in it right now, but see, nice and tall for everyone. Okay. And because you are so baby of the family, still, Poppy, and you love to pick on Gigi, on everything. And, you know, she's going to have surgery tomorrow. She needs chocolate. Yay! Yeah. So, and, of course, we have a card for y'all. And we love you and we appreciate you. And we just wanted to make sure you knew how much we love and appreciate you for Christmas.
Amen. Would you like to say a word, Mrs. Lee? Sister Karen? Shy, I'm out of reach, yeah. And you still can't run, so I might. All right. Man, thanks for thank you for that. Karen and I love you guys so much, and we just thank you for everyone that helps and everyone that works and everyone that you know, I'm always a little leery when people start passing stuff, you know? You know, because it's like, this is it. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We can say Merry Christmas, right? I'm told. I think I always said Merry Christmas, I'm pretty sure. It's a great time of year, and it's a terrible time of year. It's a time of year when we celebrate the birth of Christ through Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and Nativity. Have fun, kids. Hey, Priscilla. What? I got it. Bye. Bye. Well, bye. Curly Bill. All right. Forgot where I was. It's a great time of year. It's a terrible time of year, right? That's what I was saying, huh? I can't believe I picked that back up. Well, open your Bibles up to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians or James has the distinction of being, there's a pen up here. I'm going to put it down, but otherwise I'm going to play with it and get distracted the whole time. Either the book of the epistle of Galatians or the epistle of James have the distinction of being the earliest writings of the Christian writings that became the New Testament. I used to think that some scholars still think this, that the Gospels were written first, Mark was written first, and that they were all written probably before 45 AD. I don't think they were now for various reasons, but so we think that Galatians was written first. I don't know about you, but I like to know those things. I just do. I love Bible trivia because, you know, you may play Bible trivia one time, but don't go by the trivia that I tell you because I always tell you the contested trivia and because, you know. All right, Galatians 4. Did I give you a verse? Good, verse 4. Let's just start right there. Paul wrote these words to some people that he never met. But he says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent his son born of a woman, born under the law so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Man, therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son, a daughter. And if a child, a son or a daughter, then an heir of God. Amen? You know, we don't know when Jesus was born. We think we do. We celebrated in December, of course, and they were celebrating it in December in the early 300s, you know, before I was there. They're told, because I wasn't there yet. But it could have been September. Of course, you guys know, I always think it's March, because, you know, because I was born in March, so Jesus had to be born in March, too. But anyway, it doesn't matter when he came. It matters that he came. That he's always been who he always is. And he came to show us the goodness and the mercy and the blessing of God. Amen? But the story that we love, and I remember, I did learn the story of the nativity, the birth narrative, from the flannel board. I don't remember it. I remember it from Linus talking to Charlie Brown. And he does a nice job. We have two gospels that tell us the birth narrative. One is Matthew and one is in Luke. We're going to go to Luke in a minute. And the two of them are very different. And it doesn't, can I tell you something that arrived to my mind this week? None of the writers care if you agree with the way that they wrote their books or not. You don't have to agree with their theology or the way that they perceive things or the way that they arrange the events in Jesus' life or the way that they explain the things in Jesus' life while he walked this earth. They're not bothered by that. And they're not bothered because their gospel may not agree with somebody else's gospel, right? I mean, the first gospel was Mark. Mark wrote his gospel to show that Jesus was the Son of God. And he was so convinced that it was the Son of God that it was later on, probably 100 or so years later, that verses were added to chapter 16 that had the resurrection actually taking place. Because Mark wasn't concerned if we had those verses. He was concerned that, you know, you understood, that I understood, that anyone who picked up that gospel, that Jesus was the Son of God. Matthew wrote his gospel, and you can see it from the very beginning. Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophet that was promised to come in the footsteps of Moses. The whole theme of Matthew is that Jesus is the new Moses. That's why his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, was on a mount. Although in Luke, his gospel was about lifting up people who were on the outside. It was about reaching the people that everybody else just overlooked or didn't like. We have the story of the Good Samaritan. We have more women saying something in Luke. We have more women being mentioned in the book of Luke because he saw the people that everybody else didn't. And Jesus saw the people that everybody else didn't. So when you read these stories, be thankful that they're written down for us. But always keep in mind that when the Bible says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, it was not the book in the English language with 66 books in it. It was not what was written. It's what that lives and breathes in this union of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And if you read it in the New Testament, in Colossians and Ephesians and in Romans and in Revelation, we were there in the beginning in Him. But we forgot. Men and women, we forgot. And then we thought that our God was like the other gods that didn't exist. Right? You see a picture of God in the Old Testament of God being a warrior, of God warring for His people and destroying all the enemies of His people. When there's not a person that's ever been born, ever conceived, that's been the enemy of God. Only in their mind. They weren't enemies to Him in His heart, because we were all created in Christ in the beginning. Our theme of this sermon series is Home for Christmas. And I don't remember the actual name of the film. There was an old film, because I watched it when I was young, in black and white, and it had the Waltons in it. It was before the TV series, and they were coming home. And I remember, man, it's so hard to be away from home for Christmas, right? Be home when everybody else is celebrating, and you're not there. And it's happened to us. We were in England in 2006. We celebrated England, just Karen and I and Keegan. Christmas, what did I say? Okay, yeah. We celebrated England at Christmas time. How about that? Now you understand why I don't go back and listen to myself. Anyway, we were away from home. And one of us had a horrible attitude about it. Wasn't Karen, wasn't Keegan, we won't say who it was, but that person had an entirely terrible attitude about it. In fact, for our Christmas movie, we went and saw Happy Feet, the first one with the little penguins. And I'm in the theater. Keegan and Karen are laughing, having a great time. And I'm sobbing, because on Christmas Day, our family always goes see either a Star Wars or a Lord of the Rings or whatever the latest movie is. That's how these people felt in this time in the first century. They weren't home for Christmas. They were living in the land that God had given them, but they weren't home. You know what's worse than being away from where you live when you want to be there? Is living there and not feeling like it's your home. They have a high priest that was appointed by Rome. They had guards everywhere. They had soldiers throughout Judea. They had taxes. They had to pay temple taxes. They had to pay Roman taxes. They had to pay taxes and rents to the people that were leasing on the field so that they could try to make a living. They would go celebrate the three big Passovers. The three big Passovers. The three big festivals. And Passover, yes, is the only one I can remember. So that's how that came out. But when they got there, they couldn't give Roman money. They had to convert their Roman money to temple money. And guess who set the price on the temple money? Yeah, the temple. It was a rigged system. It's what made Jesus mad when he got mad and kicked the tables over and took a whip. It wasn't just because they were selling stuff. It's because they were robbing. They were robbing people. They would sell them a lamb that was blemished, that was unblemished. And then the priest would say, oh, there's a blemish. And it came from the high priest's field. They weren't very happy. The Galileans in particular weren't very happy, because they had leaders rise up before the turn of the century. They had, in the last few years of the first year of the BC, and you know there's no year zero, right? You realize it went from year one to year one. We skipped a year. So if you're calculating so many years, you have to add a year because, I guess, I don't know. Anyway, we'll have to ask Becky. She's a math genius. Becky Fudge, not Becky Phillip. She's a genius, but it's just in, yeah. Just don't get in her genius way. So, they had a lot of leaders that tried to lead rebellions. I mean, and there were some that were nearly successful. There were leaders from Galilee of rebellion and subversiveness to the Roman government, and they killed thousands of Romans. But the Jewish people weren't home. For centuries they had been back in Judea, and for centuries they had been asking God, when will we be home? So today we're going to look at a teenager. You know her name, Mary, right? Go open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. We'll go to verse 26. I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to preach a little bit. And then we're going to eat. You guys all right? You got there? You good? Hello, everybody online. I know that 47 seconds is the average time of someone watches our videos online. But I just pray that it's the right 47 seconds. Because I can tell you, honestly, that there's probably, there at least in every message I preach, there's at least 47 seconds that's good. At least 47. Maybe 50, 55. Luke chapter 1, starting verse 26, it says this. In the sixth month, which is a timeline from the moment of conception of John the Baptist. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. But she was much perplexed by his words. I skipped the whole sentence there. And Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed. I love that word, perplexed. By his words, and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. I'll get to that in a second. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Man, I love those words. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age is conceived, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing is impossible with God." Wow. Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I just love the story. First, because we think of mostly because we think of Mary as an adult. Because we want people to be adults when they get married now, right? So she could have been in. It was customary for 12-year-olds to get betrothed in the Jewish culture. I'll say that again. It was customary for 12-year-old girls to be betrothed in marriage. So we don't know how old Mary was, but she was probably younger than 17. Karen was 17 when we got married. I was 21. I should have been put in jail. My daughters talk to me about this all the time. Not all the time, but she was young. Not, even though I was 4 years older, I really wasn't 4 years older. I wasn't four more years mature. She was immature. I was immature. Mary, in this moment, with this angel from the throne room of God talking to her, was an immature, young, teenage girl. If you saw a girl Mary's age with child, and she said to you, an angel came and said, it's all right, because he's going to be called the Son of God, everything's good. Ooh. I know churches in our small community that would have excommunicated that person from their church. In fact, the Mosaic Law called for her to be stoned, depending on whether it happened in the country or the city. Because, you know, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they say two different things. So, you know, it just depends. Which one are you? Are you a Deuteronomist or are you a Levitical one? So, and I love how the Protestants, they call it the 400 silent years. God's kind of like my wife. He's never been silent a day in his life. He's always been speaking to somebody. She's a talker, man, except when she's mad. Sometimes it's fun just to make her mad so she doesn't talk. And then sometimes it's fun to get her mad so she's quiet and then to keep goading her until she go gets that stick. Oh, I love you guys. Gabriel comes out of the presence of God. And Mary's not afraid. She's just perplexed. Whatever that means, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not an SAT word that I ever learned, perplexed. I only say it one day of the year, the day I'm preaching this sermon. Perplexed. But he calls her favored two times. She's doubly favored. You're favored. Maybe that's why she was so calm. He greeted her, right? He didn't just go up, he didn't just appear out of a fire. It wasn't like it was a burning bush, right? But the presence of God was right there. Other people have talked to Gabriel and they've fallen flat on their face. I mean, Gabriel didn't even give Joseph a chance. He just appeared to him in a dream. Kind of incognito. I don't even think the name Gabriel is in the book of Matthew. Right? I mean, what if you woke up? What if you were waking up by an angel standing in your bedroom? Would you reach for a gun first? Would you fall on the floor? What would you do? And then there's this shiny being saying, you're favored with God. Yeah. Fine, get out of my room, right? I mean, what I'm trying to stress to you is Mary was an everyday person. I know our friends in the Catholics, they don't worship her, they revere her. Sometimes it seems like that they worship her, but they'll tell you, we don't worship Mary, we just revere her. We just esteem her. Which Mary says, and Elizabeth says, she will be esteemed among women, right? All right, so it's biblical. So anyway, but Mary was an ordinary 14-year-old kid who's being told you're going to be with child, that there's a double deal here. What did the angel say? He said, you have found favor with God, and now you'll conceive in your womb, bear a son. You'll be great, for the Lord God will give him the throne of his. I'm getting there. Don't. Here it is. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, right? The power of the Almighty will overshadow you. Those are two different phrases that mean two different things. But it's a picture. Because Jewish people in their culture, they think in pictures. You think in pictures, you think in words. I remember reading somebody's autobiography, and he was on the way to France during the Revolutionary War, and he thought, I've been in France so much, I'm thinking in French. I've never thought in French. I've thought in languages that I can't say in this room with you guys. I've done that. Not in this room. I haven't had those, but don't look at me like that. I bet you Mary had I don't know what kind of, you know, slang they had for, you know, for an expression of, I have no reference for this moment in my life. But this girl had no reference for this moment in her life. It's not like this ever happened to another woman before her. Hadn't happened to any of them since, no matter how many of them say it. And you got to hand it to Joseph, because Joseph listened to the dream that he had. It's a good thing Joseph dreamed and Tommy didn't dream, because when Tommy dreams, he's got a wolf chasing him that won't die. Just freaked out. Does God's purpose for you ever freak you out? Does the thing that you're carrying for God inside of you, even if you're a man, you don't have a womb, right? I mean, let's face it, some people that are women don't have wombs either because they've had hysterectomies, right? I mean, but it is a defining factor of a woman, right? Because women give birth. It's a wonderful and beautiful thing. And for you guys that are not married yet, and you don't have children of your own yet, and you're going to have children when you're married and have $1 million in the bank, believe me, you'll need it. Go to the birth, because it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. Where was I going with that? Were we talking about Joseph? We carry the dream. We all carry something for God. God's deposited something inside of every one of us. And one of the, point number one is, you guys all right? It's always good when I get to the points, right? Because we're docking the boat. Are we willing to do what it takes to see God's promises to be revealed in our life? Are we willing? Mary had to go against her entire culture. She had to look her mama in the eye and say, an angel appeared to me, and tell her this story. If your daughter came to you, ladies, and told you this story, you would lose your mind. And you would think your daughter's losing hers. And you would be very afraid in this culture, because they did not have permission from the Roman government to carry out the law. But there were still zealots that did it. There were still women getting stoned. There were still men getting stoned too. Not stoned like you got a hookah and you know, and you're all sitting around it, like, as I've been told. But you're getting stoned because somebody's picking up rocks out of the street and bouncing them off your head. You guys saw our driveway, huh? Pray for that woman. I don't care if she has insurance. I want her okay. God's bigger than a rock wall. And he's bigger than why ever she drove off the road. Amen? But if you know of a good rock guy, give me a name today, because I got to get an estimate. Anyway, are you willing? She's willing to set her culture aside, to set what her parents thought of her aside, to set aside, when she traveled to Bethlehem from Nazareth, she traveled in a group. They didn't go, it wasn't just her and Joseph and the non-talking donkey. It was a group of people so that the bandits wouldn't attack them, right? And ladies, you know, when you're pregnant and you're in your 10th month, it seems like your back hurts, you can't sleep, everything your husband does aggravates you because it was his fault. She's got to blame God. She can't even blame Joseph. She can't get hormonal and go, you know, if you're sitting there thinking Mary had a miraculous birth and a miraculous pregnancy, and she never got hormonal, and she never wanted ice cream and pickles. She never wanted watermelon in the middle of the night. Dale Champs is open. Get up, boy. Go get me some watermelon. She didn't have any of that stuff, right? Eating peanut butter with onions on it and stuff, you know? She didn't do any of that. Of course she did. The only thing abnormal about this pregnancy was this angel showed up. She should have been able to have him walk around with her, right? For the next 9 months, right? Just, hey, this is my friend Gabriel. He just came out of the throne room of God, and he's got a message for me. And wouldn't that be nice? You know, hey, Dad, at the kitchen table when she tells him the first time, hey, I want you to listen to this. My friend Gabe here, right? Wouldn't that have been cool? She didn't have that. She didn't have a conference on how to carry the baby God gave you. She didn't have a worship song that said, "Mary, did you know?" There was no Mary. Mary didn't know. Mary was as confused as we get confused when we're carrying the thing that God is carrying. But do we take a moment to celebrate the thing that God has given us to bear, the thing that God has given us to carry, the thing that God has given us to bring to fruition? Do we get mad at God about it? Because I got a lot of pastor buddies. They get mad at their church, man. They do. None of the guys in town, but some people I've known, right? They don't have it easy like I have it. They don't have you guys. They have different people. Let's just say it that way. They have different people that are difficult. And they wish they weren't there. They wish they could move, you know. I mean, the Methodist guys, they got it figured out. Every 2 years, they go somewhere else. I mean, you know. I mean, everybody can last 24 months somewhere. I mean, come on. But do you celebrate? Are you happy about what God's given you to carry? Yeah. Yep. Raymond's calling me, asking me if we're having church today. Poor Raymond. If you don't have Raymond's number, please get it from me today. I want everybody to call Raymond this week. You got to celebrate what God gives you, even when it costs you something. You may not get to live where you want to live. You may not get to have the people that you want to respect you and honor you, to respect you and honor you. Your baby that you're carrying is going to tick some people off. And I wanted to say another word, but, you know, it is the Sunday before Christmas, so I'm trying to be good. I got to be good. Otherwise, I won't get anything but coal. So, you got to be willing. own what God gives you and to celebrate it and to share it with the right people. It wasn't like she took a sign out on the road at, you know, at the corner of the junction with Walmart and said, "Hey, I'm carrying baby Jesus. He's going to be the new Messiah, Son of God." She didn't advertise it to everybody, I guarantee it. It's probably why she went and visited her aunt, because she was starting to show. And Dad probably said, "Hey, go see Aunt Lizzie, because we don't want questions today," right? I mean, her parents are never even mentioned. They're just not. I mean, I'm sure her dad's in the lineage of Mary that Luke gives us, but her parents probably didn't like it. Probably didn't like it one little bit, especially when she started to show. This isn't the culture that you and I live in. We know lots of single moms. We all know single moms. In fact, I'm not even surprised by single moms. The thing that surprises me about single moms is that churches still treat them as a different classification, because they're not. This girl was the single mom. I mean, she had no help but God's, right? Joseph was good enough to own up and say, "Hey, I'm still going to marry this woman." Do you take time to push the dream that you're carrying from God past the culture that you live in? Because culture wasn't more important to Mary. It was important, but it wasn't more important than what God was doing in her life. Are you willing to set all your fear aside and all your concerns aside and let the world listen to what God is declaring through you? Because Mary did. Mary did. Mary let it go. She treasured these things in her heart. Do you treasure what God is doing in you? Because what God was doing through Mary, He was doing for all of us. He was bringing us home. Not just the Jewish people, but the Gentile people and the Samaritan people and the Chinese people and the Russian people and the South American and Central American people and the Canadians. They just said, "Oh, I'm sorry," but they still came. They're still good. Amen? God did it for all of us. Because one 14-year-old girl was willing. Let's stand. Father, I just thank you for the story. God, and for the courage and the determination of Mary. God, that you brought Jesus through her to us. That he'll walk this earth as one of us, as all man and all God. Father, what we ask today as a congregation is that you speak to us however you can. Send Gabe. Send a dream. Send a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge from someone, another believer. Give us the unction inside of us to treasure the dream that you give us, God. To treasure the thing that you've deposited inside all of us. And for all of us to realize that your love, and your grace, and your mercy is the reason that we're really home for Christmas. Because wherever you are, we're home. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. I'll give you a couple instructions before I turn this mic over. Becky, we're done. Becky will let us know when the food is ready for us to go through. We'll pray over it right now. And, that'll do that. And kids go through the line with an adult, please, so you only get the food that you actually want to eat. Father, we thank you for this fellowship today, Lord, and for all of these lives and these people that come to this church, for the ones that are here, for the ones that aren't. And Father, I ask you to bless the congregation and their family and their friends and the people they come in contact with all that heaven has to offer, and to bless this food and our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, have a great day. Have a great stay and eat with us. We got plenty of food.
Okay, while the food is getting ready, we're going to be running a Christmas bingo game if you want to play. And we do have, so the first person who gets a bingo, you can see Becky and she'll give you your prize. But Dakota's going to hand those out if you'd like to play. And there are ink pens in the back of every chair. Or not every chair, but on the chairs that have pockets.